In 2016, the U.S. military ended its ban on transgender troops, allowing them to serve openly. The policy was short-lived, with President Donald Trump moving to reinstate the ban a year later. But as KUNC's Michael DeJuana reports, amid legal challenges, the fate of transgender troops is still unclear.
I'm visiting a small home near Fort Carson in Colorado Springs.
Hi.
Hi, Olivia.
You must be Michael?
I am Michael.
Come on in.
Hi, good to meet you.
Good to meet you, too.
I'm here to meet Captain Olivia Stelik.
Would you like some coffee?
I would love
some. As we sit down to talk,
black milk, sugar,
I ask what Army life is like.
I love the Army. I grew up knowing I wanted to do this, and that has not changed.
Stelik's career began 10 years ago with the infantry, and as a man. Now she's a physical therapist, and this is her first time talking about being transgender.
I would love to stay. I think that I have a lot to offer to soldiers, and that's really where my heart is.
But policy advanced by the Trump administration would bar most who are transgender from serving, including those who require or have undergone gender transition. There could be exemptions or waivers for troops with a medical history, and others could continue to serve, but they'd have to do so in their birth gender. In Stelik's case, she hopes she's grandfathered in because she came out and transitioned when it was okay to do so.
There is some uncertainty here.
A Defense Department survey estimates that about 1% of active duty military troops, or nearly 9,000, identify as transgender.
I'm announcing today that we're ending the ban on transgender Americans in the United States military.
That's President Obama's Defense Secretary Ash Carter back in 2016.
Effective immediately, transgender Americans may serve openly, and they can no longer be discharged or otherwise separated from the military just for being transgender.
GLBT advocates applauded the move that came 5 years after the military ended its Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy that prevented gay and lesbian troops from serving openly.
It was pretty wild. It was unexpected, and here we are.
Before that moment, she'd resolved to keep her hopes of transitioning private.
Being in the Army was more important. And so rather than get out, it was, I'm going to stick around and, you know, maybe when I retire, I'll transition. But until then, I'm going to take care of soldiers. That's the thing that I do.
So that's kind of living a double life.
It was, I mean, you just, yes, yes. To some extent, it's difficult to just not talk about it. That's the hardest thing.
In 2017, Stelik transitioned.
I left work on a Friday and then I showed up on Monday with a different name and different pronouns and some makeup, right? That's, I mean, because I didn't have long hair at the time. And folks were remarkably gracious and lovely and kind, and it was wonderful.
So I'm thinking timeline again.
Mm-hmm.
Right as you made your transition,
mm-hmm.
Donald Trump tweets.
Yes, that happened.
And what did you think that moment? What was going through your mind?
So I didn't actually know it had happened. My first patient of the morning came in and said, I don't care what anybody says, I want you to be my physical therapist.
That tweet said, the United States government will not accept or allow transgender individuals to serve in any capacity in the U.S. military. And in a reversal of prior research that showed transgender troops pose minimal impact on military readiness and healthcare costs, the president called transgender troops a tremendous medical cost burden and disruption.
So it's a group of people that statistically have shown that they're more, for whatever reason, more predisposed to suicide and severe anxiety.
Former Army Lieutenant General Thomas Spohr is director of the conservative-leaning Heritage Foundation's Center for National Defense in Washington, D.C. Along with conservative Christian groups, the foundation cheered the president's actions.
The criteria that I think the Pentagon's endeavoring to apply here is fairly consistent with other situations like this, like severe depressive disorder, bipolar, other medical conditions, which, you know, indicate that military service may put them in greater harm, you know, may subject them to even more anxiety and more risk of having some sort of mental episode.
But for Kaylin McCarthy, a Navy veteran who lives in Fort Collins, the elevated risk of mental health issues is only half the story.
It can be life-threatening.
McCarthy transitioned from female to male after serving in the Navy in the 1990s. From his perspective, It's policies like the Trump administration's ban on transgender troops that opens the door for bullying, rejection, and discrimination. And all of those are mental health risk factors.
Not just how you present and how people see you and feel threatened by you, but it could be life-threatening to you mentally for that person.
Tell me more about that. Why would that be life-threatening?
It's life-threatening is because there are people... And even me at some point, you know, I attempted suicide. If you can't present as the person that you are, if you're restricted from that, that is mentally, along with physically, devastating. And some people cannot handle that.
That's something Congressman Jason Crow is actively working on. He's a former Army Ranger representing Colorado's 6th District.
What I'm afraid is that the administration seems to be using the military as a tool to advance its culture wars.
Crow supports bipartisan legislation that would allow transgender troops to serve openly, and he may use his position on the Armed Services Committee to push for hearings on the subject.
The military, besides being the force that has to defend our nation, is also a standard bearer of our values. It reflects our values as a nation. And, you know, it was one of the first institutions to desegregate after World War II. And it always kind of has led the way on those issues.
Back in Colorado Springs, Captain Olivia Stelic is shocked by the suggestion that transgender troops downgrade the overall readiness of the military. She concedes that some accommodations may need to be made, like time for those who transition, but any soldier can have a medical issue, and all must meet fitness criteria to serve.
The same process happens for every soldier before we deploy. Right? It's this, do you meet the standards? Can you meet the standards? Can you deploy? And in every unit, some people don't.
And in Stelic's case, the opposite happened. When she saw that a unit was going to deploy to Afghanistan without a physical therapist, she stepped up and asked to be sent.
We're at our best when we can be whole people.
What Stelic feared most about transitioning was the possibility of being rejected. But she says she received an outpouring of support from her peers and commanders. And that's exactly what Defense Secretary Ash Carter envisioned in 2016 when he said transgender troops are part of the finest fighting force the world has ever known.
It's like family. I can't overstate how much this has opened communication with soldiers and with leaders and with people everywhere, folks that I don't think would have talked to me before.
So you're more authentic self.
You absolutely. Authentic, I am.
More
yes.
Authentic self.
Yes.
And you're seeing that that's a benefit to the military.
To me, there's no question.
The future of the ban is mired in legal challenges. For now, transgender troops just keep doing their jobs. Michael DeOanna, KUNC.